Hi, this is Allison Sheridan of the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com, a technology geek podcast with an ever-so-slight Macintosh bias. Today is Sunday, December 4th, 2016, and this is show number 604. We spend a fair bit of time on the podcast talking about accessibility, but it's mostly about cool things for the blind. This week on Chit Chat Across the Pond, NoSillaCast way Professor Terry Austin from Temple College joins us to talk about a really interesting solution for people with hearing loss who don't yet have hearing aids. Listen as he describes how transformative it has been for him to use an iOS app called Hearing Aid Plus with a pair of Trex Titanium bone-conducting headphones, the same ones Bart told us about. He uses these together to be able to hear lectures and TV. I really love this episode on so many levels because the technology just might be groundbreaking. And since Terry just happens to be an anatomy professor, we get to learn more about how the ear works along with the technology. A little while back, I bought an Amazon Echo Dot. For some reason, I haven't really taken the time to learn what it can do yet. Sure, I can ask it the weather and to play a song, but it doesn't do that much more for me yet. I've tried a couple things, but nothing's really jumped out at me that I have to, you know, can't live without. I do get emails every few days suggesting that I teach Alexa some new skills. If I would just open the Alexa app on my iPhone, surely they would give me happiness there. Well, nobody does marketing better than Amazon. This week on Cyber Monday, Amazon sent out an email specifically for Echo owners. The deal was pretty cool. If you used your Amazon Echo to order one of the things on their list using your voice, you'd get 25% off the purchase price and a $10 Amazon gift card. This was too good to pass up. I went to the kitchen where I have the Echo Dot and I called out her name. The little blue turquoise ring floated around the top to let me know she was listening. I said, "Order a Fire Stick." She said, "It's not in stock right now, but we'll ship on Thursday. The price will be $29.99 plus tax. Do you want to order it?" And I said, "Yes." This was the most frictionless purchase I have ever made. Now let's think about what Amazon accomplished here. They got me to buy something. They taught me how to use what I'd already bought to buy more things. The thing they got me to buy was a device to help me buy and rent video content from them. They gave me a gift card so that I could buy more things from them. And they taught me to like it.
Hello, Allison and NoSilla Castaways. Trevor from Australia with a short review of a product that has helped breathe new life into my 2011 iMac and could be the ultimate dongle for the new range of MacBook Pros. With more Macs coming with fewer ports to connect to your external devices, adding an additional monitor, external hard drive, other US-based gear, or legacy Ethernet or FireWire peripherals can become a bit of a problem. My 2013 MacBook Pro only has USB 3 and Thunderbolt ports, and the newly released MacBook Pros only have USB-C ports with Thunderbolt connectivity. Enter OWC's Thunderbolt dock, which might just be the adapter you didn't know you needed. It seamlessly adds lots of useful ports to your Mac. The Thunderbolt dock has a very useful 5 USB 3 ports, yes that's 5, 2 Thunderbolt ports, 1 port each for Ethernet, FireWire 800, HDMI, microphone, headphone, making 12 ports in all. There is also an external power supply which allows the 2 high-powered USB 3 ports on the side to charge your iPad or any other devices, providing power even if the computer is off. I have been using the Thunderbolt 2 dock. The requirements for this device are an Apple Mac with a Thunderbolt port and OS X 10.9.4 or later. Windows is not supported with this version, but more later. There is software that must be installed if you want to use the Apple SuperDrive, Apple Keyboard, and for charging the iPad 1, 2, or 3 with this dock. I purchased the OWC Thunderbolt 2 dock to speed up data transfers as my 2011 iMac only has USB 2 ports, and I was finding that cloning a new 1TB drive takes many hours. My newer 2TB USB 3 drives will be taking longer to back up or clone as they fill up when they are hooked up to USB 2 ports. I'm a very strong believer that you cannot have enough backups on site, off site, and in the cloud. Consequently, I have a lot of external drives permanently hooked up to my iMac, and others I can connect as required. I have been using FireWire daisy chain drives and a Targa 7-port USB 2 hub for many years, so the OWC Thunderbolt 2 dock was a welcome addition. My collection of external drives hooked up to my iMac are a combination of USB 2, USB 3 and FireWire 800 drives. Two for my on-site SuperDuper clones, two for my Air Video HD media files, thanks Bart, want a backup, one for Time Machine, two for my duplicated archives of music, software and other miscellaneous collections, and the last one for a USB 3 dock for inserting bare disk drives. The OWC Thunderbolt 2 dock connects to my iMac via one of the Thunderbolt ports. My iMac only has Thunderbolt version 1, but it works seamlessly with version 2 dock. I have not done scientific tests, but from running SuperDuper to clone a drive, I would estimate it was done in a third of the time using USB 3 drives compared to the old USB 2 connection on my iMac. The Thunderbolt dock will also come in useful when using my MacBook Pro to connect to other people's Ethernet or FireWire devices to help them sort out their problems. If you are considering purchasing one of the new MacBook Pros and you have a few legacy devices, then you may need to put the OWC Thunderbolt 3 dock on your shopping list too. OWC have just announced the Thunderbolt 3 dock for delivery in February 2017, which has a similar collection of ports, but these are enhanced over the version 2 and now includes a SD card reader, optical audio and Windows support. The downside seems that you may need a Mac or a PC with Thunderbolt 3. The OWC Thunderbolt 2 dock has been reviewed in more depth on another couple of Nasilla Castaways websites. They are Alistair Jenks and Gazmaz's. The links to these and the OWC website are in the show notes.
Thank you so much, Trevor. That was fantastic. I love OWC. I think it's a fantastic company, and I really like everything they do. If I didn't already have the Belkin Thunderbolt dock, I would definitely buy the OWC Thunderbolt dock because it's a great company. They make great products. Every time I buy RAM, I always buy from OWC. So great company and excellent review. You have a great voice. You need to do. You need to pretty much do some more reviews for us. Well, I'm so glad that the NosillaCast doesn't have to rely on ads to keep the lights on. Luckily, the shopping you guys do by following the Amazon affiliate links in the show notes to products we talk about has been fantastic. I only see that money 3 months in arrears, so I don't see it real time. But whatever you guys bought in September, thank you. You did really, really well. This year was well above last year for the same month. So thanks for remembering to use those links whenever you can. Adding in Patreon has been great too. Now there's a way for you to support the show if you don't want to bother remembering the links, and people have really rallied to add their support. If you can afford to help out, head on over to podfeet.com/Patreon and show your support. I've not traditionally done top holiday gift guides, but I'm inspired by a few little products this year. If you've been following along, you will have heard of all of these over the years, but I think it's of value to hear what products I'm still using long after the shine of a new gadget has worn off. It's easy to say, wow, this thing's amazing, but what are you still using? I'd like to focus on a few stocking stuffers, but that title comes with questions. If you stuff stockings with candy canes and oranges, this is not the right list for you. It's more a list of things that would technically fit in a stocking, and I'm going to keep the price under, and sometimes well under, $50 US. What Apple geek doesn't want more lightning cables? Seriously, either you don't have enough, you've broken the good one, or they're too expensive to buy from Apple. Whatever the excuse is, my top pick is still the Radtech ProCable UHD. These are super heavy duty, come with a lifetime warranty, and I've personally tried to break them without success. Better yet, they actually cost less than the ones from Apple. The ProCable UHD comes in 18 inches for $12.95, 6 feet for $16.95, that's the one Apple sells for $29 that breaks really easily, or you can get a giant 10-foot long one for $24.95. You know how wired earbuds, especially Apple earbuds, always get tangled in your bag or pocket? I think the problem is that basically they're like three wires connected at a single point, so they're pretty much always a mess. I'm sure you've tried all kinds of techniques, but RadTech has the least expensive, least annoying, and lightest solution. It's called StopKnot, and it's basically a little rubber gasket with a slotted hole in the middle. You slide the headphone jack end into the StopKnot, and you pull it all the way up to the earbuds, so the earbuds come together to a single point instead of two separate wires. Then you take the headphone jack end, and you slip it back into the gasket again. This makes the three separate wires that seem to love to do the tango in your bag into one circle instead. Turns out a circle is much harder to tangle than three separate wires. It sounds super goofy and silly, but I'm not sure I'm describing it well, but I pull my headphones out, I give them a little shake, and they are never tangled. The only problem with StopKnot is that you get four of them for $10. That's a problem because while $10 is a great price for solving the problem, you only need one because they last forever. I've had mine for over 4 years. I've moved it from headphones to headphones, even using it with my Lightning headphones now, and it never wears out. So here's the deal. Put one on your earbuds and give the other three away to your friends. StopKnot is also available at radtech.com. When I got my 12-inch MacBook, the first thing I needed was a USB-C adapter with an SD card reader. I figured while I was at it, I should get one that gave me USB-A as well. I tried a couple of adapters, buying them, one of which failed completely, and one that got the job done but was really ugly and janky and clunky. I mean, just the worst industrial design. And it was a cable with this big block on it, kind of hangs down on the side. It looked just awful. The one I've kept using and I still love is the Juiced Systems 5-in-1 adapter. It has two USB 3 ports, one SD card slot, a micro SD card slot, think GoPro, and it has a pass-through USB-C port so you can charge your computer while you're using the other ports. But that's not the main reason I recommend this adapter. It's because it is not a dongle, and by that, I mean it doesn't dangle. Instead, the Juiced Systems adapter plugs into the USB-C port in such a way that it sits flush against the side of the Mac. It even comes in colors to closely match the MacBook and MacBook Pro. It's sleek and convenient, and it's definitely my favorite adapter. The Juiced Systems 5-in-1 adapter is $44.99 on Amazon right now. It's not cheap, but like I said, the cheap one I got didn't work, and this one would fit nicely in a stocking. More than a year ago, Steve bought me the iPhone Lightning Dock from Apple. I thought it was kind of silly and unnecessary at first because, you know, I got a lightning cable hanging off my Mac right there. And so how is a dock any better? But as is the theme of this article, I find that I use it every single day. When I sit down at my desk, whether I need to charge my iPhone or not, it's very pleasing to just drop the phone into the dock and it keeps my desk nice and tidy. The Apple Dock is simplicity itself. It's a small rounded rectangle, you're shocked, I'm sure, with a lightning adapter sticking up out of it. More importantly, the lightning adapter is slightly raised on a little bump. Because of the bump, even with a relatively thick case, the lightning connector still makes contact inside, so the phone can charge. This design also means you can use it with any lightning iPhone of any size. It doesn't have anything around it that captivates it. It just sort of sits on the lightning connector. You'd think it would break off, but we've had great success with both of ours. If you've got a new iPhone 7 or 7 Plus, and you really wish you could charge your phone and listen to music or head podcasts at the same time with your own gosh darn audio jack headphones like the universe intended, the Apple Dock has you covered there. On the back of the dock is a standard headphone jack just for you. The only downside to this accessory is that it does not come with a lightning cable, but you'll already have one of the ones I just told you to buy from RadTech, right? Now here's the funny part. It comes in white for $39, but if for some reason you have to have black, silver, gold, space gray, or rose gold to match your iPhone, it will cost you $10 more or $49. My USB-C adapter simply must match my MacBook, but I can live with white on my iPhone dock. Now, geeks love bags and cases. We're obsessed with them. We buy them like other people buy shoes. But there's always one that we gravitate back to, and for me, that's the in-case Icon sleeve for my 12-inch MacBook. This sleeve has super strong edges and corners to protect your precious baby. In-case calls this hard material Tensorite. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, and I don't know what Tensorite is, but that's what they call it. Inside, the sleeve is custom sized to fit your MacBook exactly. I mean, it just slides in and it's just perfect shape. It cuddles it with squishy but not terribly thick foam. The end snaps shut with a little magnet as the laptop slides in. Mine is in heather gray black, and Steve has the solid black one for his 13-inch MacBook Air, and we both think they're the best sleeves we've ever used. I don't see the in-case icon sleeve available yet for the new 2016 MacBook Pros, but I'm sure they'll have them out soon. They took a couple of months to get it out for the 12-inch MacBook. You may have to get an IOU in your stocking for now. The in-case icon sleeve for the 12-inch MacBook is $39.95, and the 15-inch MacBook Pro Retina one is $45 with options for all different sizes and models as well. Beautiful, functional, and not too thick, and it will protect your precious Mac. Now, I'm going to sound like a broken record on this last one because I've told you about it about a zillion times before, but I am still in love with the Energy Pocket Cell Charger. That's Energy, I-N-N-E-R-G-I-E. You can find bigger chargers, you can find chargers with more features, you can find more milliamp hours, you can find different form factors, but I still like the 3,000 milliamp hour Energy Pocket Cell the best. Here's the main thing. According to Amazon, I bought Lindsay one of these in November of 2013, which means I got mine way before that, and we both use ours all the time, and they're still working great. This little 3,000 milliamp hour 2.1 amp charger is less than the size of two thumbs, so it fits into a purse or pocket with ease. Now, I'm rabid about not carrying any unnecessary weight in my purse. I mean, I go through and I get rid of little slips of paper immediately because I hate the extra weight. I have a nearly two-dimensional wallet because I don't want anything weighing very much, but I carry the Energy Pocket Cell in my purse every day. The other day, my 12.9-inch iPad Pro was running low on juice on the way home from San Diego, and I really wanted to keep working on something. Would you believe I was able to power the iPad Pro from this tiny little device? What I still don't understand is how Energy was able to make a battery that still holds a good charge after nearly 5 years of use. Lindsay and I both have tons of stories about how we've saved other people because we carry the Energy Pocket Cell. Lindsay's favorite is when she was on the train one time and this young woman was distraught because she realized that her train ticket was on her phone, but her phone was dead. Lindsay whipped out her Energy Pocket Cell and saved the woman some serious embarrassment. The Energy Pocket Cell comes with what they call their Magic Cable Trio. This is a cable with a USB-A plug on one end, and on the other end, in series, and it's kind of funky the way you take it apart, but it's got these three in a row. It's got an interchangeable micro USB, mini USB, and a 30-pin iPod dock connector. Now, that tells you how long this product's been around because it's still got the iPod connector, but you can make it a 4-in-1 cable by adding the 30-pin to lightning adapter. Or just use one of the lightning cables you have lying around or the one you just bought from Radtech. The same magic cable flips around so you can charge the Energy Pocket Cell via micro USB into any USB power plug. The Energy Pocket Cell comes in bigger sizes, but I still like the 3,000 milliamp hour one for $28.99. Now, my buddy Niraj is who gave me this many, many years ago, and he said, oh, well, I'm glad you're still using it, and I am still using mine, but they got way cheaper ones. But listen to what he said. He said, he's still using his. I'm still using mine. Lindsay's still using hers. Years and years of service, what is the one we're going to? So you can go buy a cheap one for $7. It's going to just, stop working on you. Or you can spend the $29 or have a friend of yours put it in your stocking for $29 and you get one that's going to last what is apparently forever. Anyway, I hope you find some tech goodies in your stocking this year. It's no secret that I'm a huge fan of Don McAllister's Screencast Online video tutorials. Over the years, I've learned so much from Don. His tutorials are simply the easiest way to gain exposure to apps for the Mac and iOS and to get a deep dive into Apple's new operating systems when they come out. The only sad thing for me is that Don hired me to help make the tutorials for him. On the one hand, it means that I learn a few apps really well because I have to teach them to you, but I don't get as many tutorials to watch as the rest of you. I'm bringing up Screencast Online again because Don has just released a new app for Screencast Online members. Normally, I'm not a huge fan of dedicated apps, especially for podcasts. But in the case of Don's tutorials, there was a real problem to be solved. First of all, only a few podcatchers out there provide for authenticated podcasts. Since Don's tutorials are a subscription service, you have to log in with your members' credentials. Downcast became my favorite iPad podcatcher. That's hard to say. And it worked a dream all year long, but I have always dreaded the end of the year. every time we had to go through the very tedious and unintuitive process of re-authenticating. I don't know if it was just me, but I found it really difficult to follow the instructions to sign up each year. I would often wait weeks or even a month before slogging through that process again. With Don's new SCO Members Tutorial app for iPad and iPhone, you download it from the App Store, tap your finger to Touch ID to authenticate with 1Password, and boom, you're done authenticating forever. If that were all this app did, I'd be thrilled. But of course, it does much more. Before I go on, I want to clear up a little bit of confusion, though. Don also has an app called SCO Showcase for iOS. This app is for those of you who are not yet members. You get a few tutorials here and there for free, which is awesome, and you can also buy tutorials a la carte if you hate subscriptions. I think it's a great option, but I warn you, you'll still get addicted. Back to this new SCO Member Tutorials app. One of the advantages of a Screencast Online membership is that you get access to the entire back catalog of hundreds and hundreds of tutorials. To get code performance out of the app, Don decided to limit the app to 2013 forward, and I think that's a really good idea. Longer ago than 3 years is a bit stale anyway. But remember, you can always go back to the website instead if you really want something farther back. Don's put a lot of thought into how the app can make it easier to discover and watch tutorials you want. His developer, Simon Wolf, did a great job with this. You can stream videos or download them for offline viewing. You can filter shows by categories, set up favorites to which you want to return later. You can see which ones you've already started to watch. You can filter and sort by date released and by title. Now, Don is a taskmaster, at least as a boss, about including lots of chapters in the creation of the tutorials. From your perspective, this is awesome because you can jump forward or back a chapter and jump to just that little bit you care about. He's also rabid about accessibility for the deaf, so of course he enabled the ability to toggle on and off subtitles. One thing that happens often for me is I'm watching a tutorial for an iOS app on the iPad, but I also want to play with the app he's talking about. With the new SCO Members Tutorial app, he's enabled picture-in-picture so you can follow along while you're watching the tutorial. You can even slide the picture-in-picture off-screen so it leaves a small tab and the audio continues to play. Next to the easy authentication, this is my favorite feature of the new app. By the way, you want to know how I figured out you could even do that? Well, because he did a tutorial on how to use his tutorial app. I don't know how he figures this stuff out. Well, I guess he thought of that one. That one's easy. So the SCO Member Tutorials allows you to toggle between zoomed and full screen. This is really helpful because it means the iPad tutorials can fill the entire app iPad screen while you're watching, but you can go kind of zoom back out when you want to see the wider aspect ratio of a Mac tutorial. Don will often do a series on a single topic. He reserves this for big changes like a new operating system release. These are some of my favorite shows because you get up to speed with the new tricks really quickly. You know, how do you think I know so much about the Mac? It's because I'm watching Don's tutorials. Seriously. Anyway, to make these easier to find, these series, he's created curated playlists. You can watch All About Sierra, All About iOS 10, All About Apple Photos, and more. In a future release of the app, he plans to let you create your own playlist, but for now, I think this is a terrific way to get up to speed on the more involved topics that he covers. The only enhancement I'd add to the SCO Member Tutorials app for iPad and iPhone would be gesture support. I love how in Downcast I can simply swipe from left to right to go back a prescribed length of time. I use that all the time when I miss what someone said, and I especially like it when I'm learning something in a tutorial. Don is welcoming feedback and suggestions on the new app, so I sent my request along to him. I hope I've made it obvious enough that I have a very vested interest in the success of Don's Screencast Online service, and also that I really think this is a terrific enhancement for members like me. By the way, Don has a 14-day free trial of Screencast Online if you want to run the risk of getting addicted. Last week, I told you how the new MacBook Pro will not run a DisplayPort monitor. I quoted the Apple support article that explains that their USB-C to Thunderbolt adapter simply will not work with any DisplayPort display, including their own legacy monitors. I explained how my darling husband Steve swapped monitors with me so that I could use his Thunderbolt Apple Cinema display with my new MacBook Pro. Steve also gave me his Belkin Thunderbolt dock so I could keep just one cable plugged into my laptop. It's still working great, but the plot thickens. This week, I got an email from Dave Price. He's a longtime Nocilla castaway and an Apple-certified support professional. He runs a company called Tech Basics in Dunstable, Massachusetts. So if you need some support out in Massachusetts, he's at techbasics.com, and that's T-E-K, basics.com. Anyway, enough about Dave. In his email, he explained that he was awaiting arrival of his new 13-inch Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And like me, he also has a DisplayPort Apple Cinema Display. He found a company called All Smart Life that was selling a USB-C to mini DisplayPort adapter, and it said it was for the new MacBooks. The adapter was $22, so Dave decided it was worth a try to see if he could keep his $1,000 monitor in use for a few more years. I told him it probably wasn't a waste of money because it would have other uses, but I pointed him at the Apple article and told him it would never work with his display. I was wrong. A few days later, Dave sent me a photo after he got the adapter. It clearly showed his 13-inch Touch Bar MacBook Pro happily running his DisplayPort Apple Cinema Display. He gets extra bonus points, by the way, for having podfeet.com up on the screen. Note to everyone else, you do get extra points for that. Anyway, while Dave seemed to know what he was talking about, he hadn't yet told me he was Apple certified or I wouldn't have doubted him as much, I still didn't believe him, even with his photographic evidence. We compared monitors and found that while my Apple Cinema Display carries USB DisplayPort and power on three separate cables, his only carries USB and DisplayPort. I thought maybe he really had a Thunderbolt display and he was just mistaken that it was DisplayPort because Steve's Thunderbolt display just has two cables like his. I suggested he send me a screenshot of his system information about graphics and displays. Sure enough, his display matched mine nearly identically, saying clearly that it was DisplayPort, not Thunderbolt. Dave and I exchanged, 26 emails, and as we noodled this, he expressed joy that I was enjoying the experimentation here as much as he was, and I felt exactly the same way. I can't tell you how often someone writes a problem and I suggest like 11 things to go try, and they never write back to tell me what happened. Dave is clearly my people. After verifying that Dave wasn't crazy, that he really was running a DisplayPort monitor from a late 2016 MacBook Pro, that got me to thinking. I've got this Belkin Express dock on my desk. I wonder if it can run my DisplayPort monitor too. Well, Steve made the mistake of leaving me alone this afternoon, so I stole my old monitor back. The Belkin dock actually has two Thunderbolt ports, so instead of swapping out the Thunderbolt monitor, I added the DisplayPort monitor. Guess what? Both monitors worked simultaneously. I was able to run both a DisplayPort and a Thunderbolt monitor using the Belkin dock. Do you think it'll take long for Steve to notice I have both monitors now? Anyway, now I can hear some of you hollering at your audio device telling me you probably can't run Thunderbolt devices with Dave's $22 adapter from All Smart Life. I suspect that's true. But remember, the DisplayPort monitor from Apple doesn't have Thunderbolt ports anyway, so we aren't losing a thing. You can still put a regular USB-C to Thunderbolt adapter in another port on the MacBook Pro and run other devices that way. Remember, it's good that you've got four USB-C ports. I wanted originally to title this article, Apple Lied About DisplayPort, but technically they didn't. They didn't say that it's not possible to make an adapter to allow your DisplayPort monitor to work. They just said their adapter wouldn't work. So the $22 All Smart Life adapter can send DisplayPort over USB-C, and the Belkin Thunderbolt Express dock can send DisplayPort over USB-C, and I bet that OWC dock that Trevor Drover bought would work too. Why can't Apple's adapter do it too? Now, if Apple had come out with a spiffy new monitor they wanted you to buy, maybe we could assume it was a money grab. But they clearly got out of the display business this year. Why on earth didn't they make the adapter work with the $1,000 monitors they sold to me and Dave and Katie Floyd and a lot of other people? If someone can explain this to me, I would love to hear it. Well, that's going to wind us up for this week. Do not forget to send in your dumb questions, comments, and suggestions. Geek out with me like Dave Price did. Send in a review like Trevor Drover did. You can do that by emailing me at allison@podfeet.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Podfeet. Don't forget, everything good starts with podfeet.com/whatever it is you're looking for. We got podfeet.com/Patreon to help the show, podfeet.com/Facebook to talk to other No Silly Castaways, podfeet.com/Google+ to talk to No Silly Castaways who hate Facebook, podfeet.com/Amazon to find those Amazon affiliate links. And if you want to join in the fun of the live show, where do you think you go? You go to podfeet.com/live on Sunday nights at 5 p.m. Pacific time and join the friendly and enthusiastic No Silly Castaways. Thanks for listening and stay subscribed.